Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the very special edition of the Safety Third Podcast. Today we have our guest, Niall Redd, who's no longer a permanent host. He's just... Actually, no. You know what it is?
No, I'd rather be a guest.
Do you know
I'm
how
not
much
a host.
Healthier and brighter and more fun you are now that you've posted your video? Do you
know
the,
we played
the
video
hobgoblin,
games.
The hobgoblin that you turned into, Nigel? You turned into this little basement-dwelling...
My office is not in the basement.
Incel.
I was in an office. I was in an office dwelling.
Oh, yeah.
Office dwelling...
Correct.
Creature. Mm-hmm. I was just saying random words. I'm not even sure if half of them were applicable.
This bubbly or this sparkling water I just drank, it's been on my desk for so long that it's not even carbonated anymore.
That's gross. Is it growing mold?
I don't even know when it's from.
Anything
I should get a new one.
All right, Kevin. Nigel said he didn't want to talk about war stuff, so we won't talk about war stuff. We'll talk about how, if you had to make your own body armor, how would you make it?
Well,
I was thinking about this the other day.
Oh man, you know they sell that, you ever see houses that are up for construction and they have this like white tarp over all the walls and stuff?
Yeah,
It says like Tyvek home wrap on it or something
it's like permanent, right? Is it permanent?
Yeah. It's like they put the wood up on the walls or the bricks up on the walls and they put this layer of like, looks like fabric or plastic over it. And then they put like the actual siding of the house on.
Yeah, I think that's just for waterproofing, right?
Yeah, but that's made of polyethylene fibers. So, and I know that they make body armor out of polyethylene. So maybe if you like sandwiched enough layers of that together with like epoxy or fiberglass and then that stuff, it might work. Yeah.
I just don't know how useful body armor is at all. Like unless you have the ceramic plates and stuff.
I mean, it's really
just
useful.
I watched some videos.
It doesn't have to be ceramic to be useful body armor. The new lightweight polyethylene
I'm just saying,
stuff.
Like, it's even just like the Kevlar helmets. It's like they're only for ricochets and other stuff. Like a direct, almost direct anything will go through both sides of the helmet.
Well, I don't know. You take a bullet like to the side of the helmet.
That's what it protects you for, right?
It's not, so it's like
the helmet, if like shrapnel or something is like deflecting. Better. But I'm just saying that like it's, I think that in a super chaotic situation, taking your time to wrap yourself in polyethylene sheet.
I'm fixing my light.
Might not be worth it.
I've realized of all the modern warfare Warzone I've been playing, that I would die very quickly in a war zone, and I don't.
I mean, yeah, I've seen how you play modern warfare. Well, you get a helicopter and you crash it into the enemy team.
Yeah, that doesn't. It would not work good.
Doesn't translate very well.
I was looking up, because I was thinking, like at the beginning of the pandemic, too, I spent like a couple $100 buying like equipment to try to make like a DIY ventilator. Like everyone had like a hard on for DIY medical equipment because some news outlet, like right after they published about toilet paper, they started publishing about ventilators, which did that ever even become a problem? Like not even close. Like the ventilators never, like, and of all the things, why was it ventilators? Like, doesn't it just seem like one of those media things?
I feel like it was because
there was a shortage, and the fear was that like that the people who are really severely sick would need, right?
But
and there
was
this fear that if there's a huge surge,
like hear me out. If you're short on ventilators, you're probably short on everything, right?
Well, no, the reason that came out was I think early in Italy when there were the reports that they were basically. I mean, triaging people based on like how likely they were, like how young they were.
Right.
And they were tearing ventilators out of people who they thought were the kind of being like, oh, this guy's 80. We're going to pull the ventilator and give it to this 25-year-old.
Right out of this.
I'm sure that it's sterilized, in between.
They still yank. They give it a good yank. Like.
But it's like they were having to do that. So I think that's where the fear came from because nobody wants to have to basically – like as a doctor, you don't want to have to be like, hey, this patient I'm deciding has no chance. I'm going to give it to this guy.
Oh my God, Kevin.
So I think that's where the whole like ventilator
where that stemmed from.
Because they were in low supply.
Because the first thing I did,
as far as
was,
I know,
there was a bunch of people that were doing this stuff, but it was like, you know, it's kind of an interesting challenge too, to just be like, oh, like, here's this idea. Like, you know, when you sort of like, honestly, I feel like making stuff in general is kind of funny, because half of making stuff is like having a problem. And a lot of times people who make things, their problem is machines that make things. We're like, only if I had a machine that could make this thing. And then they start making a thing that is a machine that makes things.
It takes longer to make the machine than it would have taken to make the thing.
And so when someone presents you with like an actual problem of like, oh, we're going to run out of ventilators, and you're sort of sitting there thinking like, oh, okay, well, how would I make a really shitty ventilator? Now you have an actual problem. And so that kind of stuff is like, I don't know, gets my attention, because it's like, here's this nifty challenge. Like, or,
yeah, I mean, I thought about it too.
Purposeful challenge, you know?
But then I also thought that no matter how fast I am or how easy I make it, the companies that are already set up to build them can just crank them out. Like,
don't sell yourself short, Kevin.
I don't know.
You're capable.
Kevin, I've seen you. I've seen you.
But could anybody else?
When you focus, you're focused. You can really
He's got that Florida man on meth stole 100 radios out of 100 cars in 3 hours energy.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
But do the hospital workers have that same energy to go out and...
No,
steel
but
code
you would have other
for
people.
The Raspberry
you had,
Pi.
Remember the...
Get water heaters. Get some limit switches.
Okay, so this is what I did.
Yeah, that's.
I bought like a one of the manual ventilators, and then I designed a 3D printed like a flap valve, that was like a plastic flap that covers a hole, and so like when you breathe out, it like pushes the air. Oh, it pushes the flap open, but you breathe in, it sucks the flap closed. And then I bought these really cheap timers on Amazon, like a relay timer where you could set like the relay on and relay off time. And then I bought also synchronous microwave motors that move the turntable.
Like the really slow ones.
Yes, but to use as a timer. So then what you could do is you could take a microwave, you could pull the synchronous motor out of it because it spins based on the frequency of the power lines. And then you could put a cam on it, like a 3D printed cam with limit switches. And so you could build the timing electronically using AC coming from your wall. And then it was just like a mechanism
I understood four of those words.
That's fine.
One of them was
wall.
Another one was electricity.
I mean, that's really simple.
Because that was to me, that was like the design challenge.
I actually don't know what you mean, but
you know, like your microwave motor that spins the turntable?
Yeah.
So that motor is synchronous. I think I'm pretty sure it's the right terminology. Essentially, where the speed of the motor isn't based off of the voltage, it's based off of the AC current.
Mm. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to do a
Google
search.
Dude, I have
really
very
quick.
Low so knowledge like, when it comes
you know,
to this
so it's
stuff.
Like 60 hertz. So the motor spins at, I don't know, whatever,
some
multiple
rate
of that.
Equivalent
like
to
2,800 RPM.
Yeah, so synchronous electric motor is an AC electric motor, which at steady state, the rotation of the shaft is synchronized with the frequency of the supply. So essentially what that means is that this motor will always spin at some rate equivalent or equal or some ratio to the frequency of the power powering it. So it's an AC motor that will always spin at a constant speed relative to the AC current being put into it.
What determines that? Like how many poles it has or...
Probably something like that. Yeah, it's like how quickly it shifts it forward. But AC motors work a little different. So what that means is like when you have the ventilator, like there's a couple problems. Like number one, you have to be able to somehow mechanize air being pushed somewhere, but it has to be like a high, like low volume, high pressure. And then you have to, I guess high volume. No, yeah, it's.
I have no input on any of this.
Like you can't use a fan basically. Like you have to have something that has like can put much more force into the air, and then you have to be able to control like the frequency as like, you know, like I looked into a bunch and there's you have to push air into people's lungs and you have to let it dwell and you have to pull it out and you
I think also another problem too is like you have to have you have to have a pressure measurement, because if you push too much air in, you're gonna pop people's lungs. So you have to be able to measure the resistance.
They normally put a relief. So I think that was the thing that I sort of had the most trouble with, is you could buy reliefs where essentially it's like a bypass, right? Where it's like a pressure relief, like if it goes over. But then you also have this thing where it's just like, if you're on a fucking DIY ventilator, like.
Yeah. You can cut corners. Like, if it comes time to use DIY ventilators,
I guess already. I mean, you're lucky that you even have this rickety thing.
An easy release would be like bubbling it through a column of water.
Right. See, that's big brain. See, that's something I didn't even think of. Where it's like you could potentially have some sort of weird, like, you know, what do they call that? Just like a pressure gauge, like a barometer. Is that what a barometer is?
Yeah, basically like a barometer, except that when it if it goes over a certain amount, it just starts spurting water or air out. Yeah. Pushes
like
all the water
the,
out.
Old school. Like when you're brewing beer.
Mm-hmm.
You probably that's do just... that in chemistry. Is there anything where you have a one-way valve?
Yeah.
And so it's like with like a fluid trap? That's how your sewer works too, right?
They call usually it a bubble don't... trap, right?
Yeah, you usually don't do it with like your... You don't do it actually trying to maintain any pressure, right. But you do traps to
It's to keep
capture.
Stuff from coming back in.
Correct, yeah.
But it also happens to work as like a pressure release.
The idea is that you can prevent air from coming, from getting in, but you can neutralize if you don't want to bubble, like if you're boiling acid or something else, you don't want to just release it.
Right.
So you're able to neutralize
Your toilet
it.
Works very similarly, right? Where it's like you can stop sewer gas from coming through and out your toilet, but you don't necessarily like cap off the sewer line. So it's like if there was enough force, it could push the water out back into the bowl.
I just experienced that. Firsthand.
Oh, wait, no. What? Oh, yeah. You were saying something about that.
Wait, what happened, Kevin?
Shitter's full? Shitter's
full. Oh, yeah. All the shitters are full and overflowing at the same time.
Wait, what?
It was like, I don't know. I have a septic tank, which is like pros and cons, mostly cons, but it fills up and then it like, there's two tanks. There's a septic tank. It fills up with all the nasty stuff. Then there's like a little pipe that goes out to the front yard. And then that's like basically the clean water that's kind of fermented for a while and it's not as like bacterially active, and then it like pumps it down kind of like underground. But what happens was there was a clog between the first tank and the second tank, so the first tank just kept filling up and filling up until it started coming out like when you flush the toilet, it wouldn't flush and it would like push water up the other toilet you know, until like all the pressure started equalizing. But it came out of like the bathroom tubs, and like there was like a little lag time, so by the time we realized it, everything was flooding.
That's one of those moments where you just...
Is that one of the pros or the cons?
Oh, well, if you have a septic company,
really
it's a pro.
That's where you learn what it's like to be a man. You know, everyone has all these definitions of manliness, but a real man...
You need to deal with a septic tank.
When you got
to
deal with
your
septic tank overflowing
poop water
into your
under
bathtub.
Pressure.
You
know, I'll tell you how. You take out your wallet... And you say, just fix the problem. I want to use a toilet again.
You're like, Billy, are you ready? Today's the day you become a man. He's like, yeah, I'm ready. And it's like, all right, fix the septic system. And no.
I mean, apparently, I forget who I was talking to. Like, I mean, it makes good money. I forget who it was.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do it.
Somebody said their cousin or something just got out of trade school and he started his own business. And then he's like, you know, I'm specializing in like... that type of stuff, like septic and whatever. But I think he's like, his business is just thriving. Like, he's doing great because he doesn't have, I mean, I guess the competition's probably not super high. People aren't racing to get
but
in there.
But even if he's getting paid a lot, it's still a shitty job. Or wait,
Apparently, it's
a shitty job.
Twice.
Sorry, let me, even if he gets paid well, it's a shit job.
Every time I've had somebody come out to manage with like the septic system, they've always been kind of crazy. And it's a very small sample size.
Here's a question. What kind? How is the crazy, like describe it relatively. Is it like reptile person crazy? Like the same person who has a bunch of like, not snakes, but just reptiles.
Do they know?
The kind of person that would do septic stuff.
Same
kind
of person that would post about the number of letters in Barack Obama's name equals 8, which is also, if you add up the number of... the letter of numbers and devil, it's the same amount of whatever, so it's the same kind of, that's the person,
the weight of the numbers. If you look at the total density of the numbers, you can cross-reference the
oh my god,
like they're
he's
smart
talking about
figure that out.
Wait, who did you say starting the
no, I said
septic?
I said some random, it was when I was building this office, like a contractor, you're saying his cousin just got into that business and he's like, I mean, I think he was like he's not, I think younger, he's like 26 or something, but he was making like really good money.
Does he talk about the vibrational frequencies of the universe? No, and that, I think and that John Lennon played the middle note C. That's what he transposed Imagine to the middle note C. And that's the frequency that heals everybody. And he played it in that song to try to awaken everybody. And that's why the CIA killed him. I learned that from my septic guy.
Oh, my God. Actually?
Actually.
Okay, here, you want to know the secret to making Kevin, a lot of money?
Kevin wasn't just saying examples. He was actually relaying information.
Now that you've said it on the internet, they're going to come after
you. Oh, my God. They're going to come for me now.
They know where you poop.
Delete this podcast now for safety.
So you know the secret to making a lot of money. This is good advice for everybody.
Making a lot of money or having a lot of money?
Making money. No, having money, you're born with it.
I'm saying, I just want to say, you can make a lot of money, but I guess if you don't have...
If you had to boil down what making a lot of money is, like how do you make a lot of money? There's one answer.
Work really hard and pull yourself up by your...
No, that's bullshit. Working hard doesn't get you paid shit.
I know the answer to this. Don't be weird.
No. What?
No?
Make people's problems go away.
I guess so.
If there's a man who can make your poop problem go away, tell me, Kevin, how much would you pay that guy to make your poop problem go away?
I paid him $500 for the luxury of using my own toilet again.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah. I would do it again.
So...
Except not on weekend emergency hours.
Kevin's like, I'll solve any problem, but I won't solve that.
No.
What did he do? Did he just have to drain the main tank? How did they fix the
Yeah, they get this huge truck. It's like, 1,000 gallons. They pull it up. They run a huge hose out. They got to open the tank. They stick the hose in there, and they suck it all out. And then he has like this big old, it's a hose, but it also has like this big metal part on it. So it's like, you can really jam it in something. And he jammed it in my main sewer drain for my pipe and just sucked everything out.
Sucked the clog out?
Sucked the clog out. Like you could hear the toilets like, coming like this whistling noise coming out of the toilets and the drains. And he sucked it clean. It was nasty.
What did it smell like?
Oh my God. It smelled like bad breath and porta potty.
Were you
it
glad,
was horrible.
Were you glad that like once he was gone, the smell like slowly went away?
He was like trying to talk to me, but I had to get out of there. I went inside, closed all the doors and windows, and he's like trying to talk to me about my YouTube channel, but I'm like, dude, I gotta go. I'm busy.
I'm telling you, man.
And then it was kind of nasty because he like once everything was in the truck, he like kind of backwashed it with water, but the water is also dirty. Because I guess it's like some regulation where the hose has to have like clean water coming through it. Because think about it, if you have a hose full of like nasty poop water and it's sucking it through the hose and you take it out of the septic tank, there's still going to be a lot of stuff left in the hose, like when you're dragging it back to the truck. So you have to like backflow it with fresh water when you take it out. And he's like, cleaning the whole septic tank with that. And I could just see this mist of poop, misty poop water coming out of this hole. And it was just pure poop particles, man. And this guy's like huffing it. I had to go inside.
So how do you feel about my suggestion that a successful business that makes a lot of money is one that makes people's problems go away?
I guess you're right. I thought you were going to say like be personable or,
No. Just make people's problems disappear. I mean, there's other ways to do it. But I feel like the most obvious one is like what problem do people have that they really don't want to deal with?
Poopy water. Poopy water, front yards.
I feel like that is a safe way... To have a very successful career. I bet you if you looked into how much money you could make like running your own septic pumping business, it's probably not bad.
I was talking to this guy at Lowe's and he said he works for a plumbing company and his boss just got a $10 million house out by the water.
Yeah.
That's a lot of... And this is like, kind of a regional plumbing company. This isn't national. This is like, two or three counties.
That's
what
crazy.
I find weird or interesting is since I moved into this office... There are businesses up and down the street, and I see them, and I'm like, I know what the rent is like here. I know kind of like, so when I see their square footage and I see what the business that they're running, I'm always just like, I guess they have like enough customers to pay for
it,
but it's weird.
They
must be making it work. But I was talking to a contractor who said that he worked on a project for somebody who used to have a business on the same street, and this guy was insanely rich. He says the guy was trying to build a large like lake on his property or something. I don't know what he said. It was like a $3 million construction project.
Yeah, at that point, you got
to
give your money to a food bank.
He was just trying to build like some stupid lake with a fountain. I don't know. He said it was a dumb project or mean, hopefully the guy's not listening. Sorry, sir. Your project's not dumb.
No, it is dumb. Donate. Okay, here you go.
Buy, I'm afraid
build
of this
a
man.
$500,000 lake and donate.
He knows where
like,
my business is.
$3 million to a food bank at that point, for Christ's
no,
sake.
No, either way, he was just saying, because he said, I was like, oh, crap. Like, this guy's a lot of, like, you know, if you're building, like, a lake or whatever, I don't know what it was. Right. Something frivolous, just so when you wake up in the morning, you see it on your lawn. I'm like, it's like, you know, you got to have some money to kill. And then when I was told what his business was, just, I mean, I could say guess, but I don't think you'd ever guess what it was.
Give us hints. We'll play 20 questions.
It's kind of useless. I'll just say
Wait,
it. I'll just
okay,
say
Okay, 20
it.
Questions. No, yeah. 20 questions. Let's guess. What is this mystery business that makes made someone very rich? I like this.
Is it a person?
This is all hearsay, too. I've not
thing?
Confirmed this.
Is it a person?
Kevin, what the hell? Yeah. Is it a service?
A robot is running the business, Kevin. I guess it's a service.
Okay.
The first question's already a fail.
Do you
is it
have
a product?
To, if you work for this company, do you have to go to college?
Yo, these are questions I'm not going to be able to answer. Probably not.
Do they sell a physical product that they make?
I would say yes.
How much training is involved in
probably,
being able to perform this task?
Dude, I'm not like in depth on this industry. Maybe not. Maybe a little bit, like standard amount of training, a couple months. I don't know.
Do they have maybe more than 10 employees?
I don't even know what this company is. You're asking.
Does it questions. Involve heavy equipment?
Yeah, I imagine. You're asking. I literally know so little about the company that I can't even speculate. What?
You can't even speculate.
I said, yeah, they use heavy equipment, but like big machines, I guess.
Okay. So some sort of like construction.
What number are we on, Nigel? What number question
I don't
was
know.
That?
I feel like we're going to reveal it. You're going to go, oh, that's lame. Like I wanted to.
No. That's the whole point
now
of this.
Now we're too far
we're
in.
We're setting ourselves up for a disappointment.
And I know so little about the business. It's all just based on what I imagined in my head.
You don't
head.
Need a degree. It sounds like it's definitely some sort of like construction-y kind of thing.
I didn't say
is
you
the machine,
didn't need it.
Is the machine heavy enough to kill you? The machinery?
I imagine if you messed up, it could do some damage.
So it's probably something you can get trapped in.
Yeah.
Do they make road signs?
No. As far as I know. Maybe. I don't know. No, I don't think so.
That also counts as one question. That was just an expansion upon my previous question.
No, the answer's no. Dude, I don't know. I never even looked up their company.
All right, okay, we give up. What is it?
He just printed labels. Like, allegedly, he just was, like, a guy who... I didn't get all the details, but as far as he knows, he just printed, like, product labels. Just being, like, little
like
pieces of paper. Yeah, that's what I said. It's like a service or product. I was like, I don't know which one it would be considered. But it's
service.
Like, if you were to sell a bottle and have the label that wraps around it, it's like he
right.
printed that label. But allegedly, he made... Like, it was, like, a multi-million dollar business. And it's just kind of like a local business in my town. Huh. And you drive by the building, it looks like just a warehouse. Doesn't look like too much. The key he was saying is that you wouldn't imagine too much is going on. And it's like when the guy tells you, he's like, oh, I print labels. He's like...
Does he even put them on things?
See, I didn't know all the details. The guy was telling me didn't have all the details. He said it had to do something with like... This is where like, I guess the unique part comes in. I think it was specifically when like Chinese import. This is vague. This is like a year ago. I was told this.
Is
he
it
said it was like Chinese.
Stuff?
No, he's like Chinese imports were coming in. I think he was creating English labels for Chinese
right.
products. So it's like companies would contact him. I think he would translate them, print the labels, and ship them.
Dude, that's a problem. He made people's problems go away. Like that's
but
a
it was,
serious
yeah.
business.
But it's like it's such a weird niche thing. But at the time, it
right.
was so needed where people went, I have this Chinese product. I need an English label for
right.
it, and he would just make the equivalent.
Because
this is what I think
they need
it was.
To have the art,
yeah.
and the translation,
and it
and then
printed
they have to
and...
physically do it here. They have to like at some point they have to like take the inventory that's
yeah.
going to America and relabel it. So it's like if you already have a product and you like have the secondary market that you don't want to deal with. Just let someone else do it and pay them
so it's like,
maybe more money than you should.
He made like the American / Canadian or Western packaging for it. And it just sounds interesting. He just printed cardboard. Like,
you know what's funny
labels.
About that? I feel like to run a business like that, you do
that's
actually
what I heard,
a handful of employees. Like that's
yeah.
probably like a dozen employee company, especially if it's making that much money. If you have enough money where you can build a lake on your property, you probably should just be paying your employees more. Like, no. Dude, I'm all aboard hoarding money. Like, that's fine. Like, hoard your
all
money.
All aboard.
Like, if you just want to keep your money and don't want to spend it, that's fine.
It's so much hearsay because this is like what the guy who I was talking to had pieced together.
I believe it 100%. But I 100% believe that story.
He was just saying that he'd worked for like a lot of people and he was always shocked when, because he was a contractor, or he is a contractor. He said that he would work for like these really nice houses. I was going to say in Westmount. You guys don't know where that is. It's just like the rich area of Montreal.
Do you live there?
No, I do not. he just said that when you would ask some of them, a lot of them are doctors, lawyers, like standard stuff you'd expect. But he goes, you'd occasionally get, he goes, the really, really rich people that he would ask what they do would just always be something obscure.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah, it's, dude, they probably made a weird problem go away that no one else had thought of.
Like he said, he goes, you get to the other guys, they have like, you know, beautiful houses. What do you do? Oh, we're like cardiac surgeons. Yeah. We're like neurosurgeons. Oh, the cool, makes sense. Then it's like this really rich guy. What do you do? Oh, we print labels. What?
Yeah.
Like, you're the really rich guy?
I sell my farts in a jar.
Yeah, exactly. You start getting the weird niche businesses at the top.
So with septic company, how much, you know, I paid $500 for that service. It took about an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much do you think employee got paid? I had to make an appointment, yeah.
Okay, so that means that employee is going job to job to job.
Yes. And it took him 1 hour.
They still pay them, at least when the guy who, another contractor told me his cousin did it, I think he was making like in Canadian, I think he said he's making like 150 plus, like K a year. He's running his own business too. He just started it, I think.
Well, talking about if you work for a big company, you know,
they definitely pay you more. You're definitely on the higher pay scale.
Yeah, I would
minimum
say
plus $1.
If I was starting, like when I worked in a machine shop, and this was like, you know, maybe 5 years ago or six, maybe more, 8 years ago, I was getting paid like $16 an hour, and that was like pretty good. If I was to do that, you need quite a bit of skill. Like, that's definitely not a job that you just throw somebody into because there's like
insurance. Septic tanks are dangerous too, right?
Yeah, there's definitely some protocols and insurance that's going to like cause problems. So, and training. And so having someone that does a good job and like doesn't piss your customers off by covering their lawn and shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guy does an error and he shoots all the septic tank back into your house.
I don't think it's that complicated of a job.
The check bounce.
Kevin.
I don't think it's complicated.
But Kevin,
I just
is
think
that possible?
Yeah. So from what I'm looking up online, I typed in septic
Could
technician.
Could he push enough water through to send the septic all the condoms back?
That would
back
be
in.
Epic. Geyser status.
There's definitely a switch that you turn to probably make the pump just run literally backwards. I don't think, I doubt there's another outlet.
Yeah, he was like pumping water into the septic
back
tank.
Into your house.
But it was like dirty water. It was like already mixed. He's like, yeah, it's mixed.
But Kevin, this is all
so
your
it's not
dirt.
Chunky anymore.
Does that make it better that it's your dirt?
No.
Is it more gross that it's your, like, is it more
Will's
gross?
Will's pooped in my toilet before.
Sorry?
That was some, you know.
Oh, yeah. But is it more gross if you have to deal with your own waste?
It's just as gross. Or I don't care whose it is.
Or if it's somebody.
I'm going to say
gross.
Once you've been sitting in a tank for that long, it doesn't matter. It's like the same thing, and it's just disgusting. Like, your body is like giving you all these
so
signals.
So you tell me there's a time
run.
Limit. So if it's fresh and matte, it's better than
honestly,
sitting in the
like,
tank.
I would rather clean up a fresh poop on the carpet.
Yeah.
Yes. From like my dog, hypothetically.
Yeah. You have to specify, not from. You have to specify your dog.
Okay, anyway, it says $20 an hour, $20-$25 an hour.
That's
average septic technician salary is like 40 to 60K a year.
That seems like on the low end of what I would be okay with. Like,
yeah.
I think that that's one of those jobs where there's going to be like a premium tacked onto it. Like,
and this happens with everything. Any trade job you get, you know, a plumber, an electrician, a mechanic, you know, they only make, you know, whatever the hourly rate the business charges, they probably make like 30% of that, maybe 50%. And the rest of that goes to the company. And it's because when you run a company like this, there's something called, you know, you've heard of the economies of scale. There's also the diseconomies of scale. And when you start expanding like this, you know, you have to start charging more because you're doing all these things. You need insurance for the drivers. Right. You need cars for the drivers. You need equipment. You need training. Then you need somebody in the office to book appointments.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the thing. Accounting. You need the office workers. You need accounting. You need so much other overhead.
Yeah. So this, you know, normal job that you're paying, you know, doing yourself, suddenly you want somebody in the office to help you. Then you figure you can hire somebody else. And then next thing you know, you have to charge like three times as much.
Ship the shit 12 miles off coast so you can dump it without having to pay.
So I don't know. I feel like if you were going to go do one of these jobs, the better way to do it would be to like stay small and charge.
You need the truck though. The truck is going to cost like $100,000.
Maybe. So do people just have septic? Because in my area, we don't have septic tanks.
It's called shitty government.
So you just don't have a sewer line? Like I don't actually understand.
Yeah, it's like they never ran a sewer line.
I mean, here
maybe
they call
it works better
city
in
sewer.
Some areas than the other because Florida has really sandy soil.
Isn't
so
it like a lot of
like percolate
work to like empty all the tanks?
Yeah,
you should. They say you got to do it like every 5 years because that's usually when it gets clogged.
Wait, you can hold it for 5 years?
Yeah,
it drains.
Yeah, it drains into the ground.
There's like a multi-stage process. There's like a leach pit, they call it, or something like that, where like once it's been sitting for long enough, it's considered like safe enough to like slowly
it's been like broken down by microbes. Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't know that.
When I was a kid, we moved into a house and that almost immediately, I think they realized it, or I don't know. I think it was already, the septic tank had collapsed. Ugh. And so it was like this big steel tank that had to be like torn out and had to be this whole thing. I just remember it being like an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, that's super huge. Expensive too.
It's like a room, dude. It's like a small room underground. Like it's
yeah.
A
go hang out in there.
Tank. Yeah, we have a friend. My dad had a friend that his house got put on city sewer, and he like emptied the tank out and like turned it into like a basement. Which the guy was kind of crazy, but I feel like that's kind of a bad idea, especially a used tank. But
he actually did that. That's nasty.
Yeah. Yes and yes. I never saw it, but.
Like, I mean, if I live somewhere where I could have an underground room.
But could it be any room other than a used septic tank?
Yeah, anything besides that. A shipping container or something. Everyone's going to yell at me, you know, you can't bury a shipping container.
Yeah. I know,
well,
right?
You shouldn't hang out in a septic tank either, guys. That's the bar. We're setting the bar low.
Wait, Kevin, I'm gonna post a video. This is something I saw years ago. I don't know if it's true or not. You guys can
anyway,
be the judge.
He's posting the video, I want to rant about some more stuff that I got overcharged for. One of them was an air conditioner.
Recently?
I needed a new air conditioner. And I looked online. I'm like, okay, I can actually buy the air conditioner unit, you know, three ton unit or something like that for like $3,000-$4,000. And then I called some people and I'm like, hey, can you install this for me? And they said, oh no, we don't do that. We don't install units supplied by the customer. We supply them and install them ourselves. And, you know, they charge for the install like $10,000-$12,000.
Okay.
$7,000-$8,000. And I'm like, why? Why don't I just like
the
get this unit? Why can't I pay you an hourly fee to install this unit?
They want the premium.
Yeah, it's wild. And they told me, it's like, well, when you have a big company like this, you need insurance, you need vehicles, you need employees. Nobody would do it.
Says the man whose boss is building a 3-million-gallon lake.
I know.
In front of his house.
There's something broken with that. I think, you know, maybe back in the day it would be good to work for a company like that, but now you just got to be good at like SEO marketing and you can easily start your own business.
So you're just trying to install an AC unit.
Yeah.
And they're going to charge you $12,000 to just install it?
Yeah, like $10,000. I think
that's insane.
My bill was like $7,000 or $8,000 per air conditioning unit.
That's what we paid. I think we paid like $10,000.
Why don't you just install it yourself?
You can't.
Because you would need like, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 in equipment to do it.
Yeah, that's worth it.
No, but then you have to figure out how to do it. You have to learn the whole process. You have to run.
Yeah,
it's just
I'd
like
rather
one of those
pay
things
somebody.
Where it's like, yeah.
$2,000 to
you
do
get
it.
Tools. A learning experience.
No, that's the line. That is the line that I don't want to cross.
What it teaches you when you're done installing it, you're like, damn. Now
if I was building my own house,
I've installed AC before. I could have helped.
There
you.
Wasn't drywall on the wall yet. I might try it.
What
running
do you mean
ducts
you've installed
and stuff like
AC
that.
Before? Now,
I've installed AC.
You put something in the
explain
window.
Explain the process, because this is not just, this is like putting a unit down on the ground and then filling the lines with coolant or with refrigerant.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do it myself. I helped.
Like in our house, there's literally, there is a water pump that pumps the condensation into the attic and outside.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, no,
it was a central AC unit. And then I kind of messed up though. I was an apprentice. I was only one day on the job.
Yeah.
How did you mess up?
I spilled pump oil on the guy's patio or on the rocks, and it's just like, it does not come out.
No.
Was this for your own place?
I was going to come back with hexanes.
Nigel released 4.4 cubic metric tons of ozone depleting refrigerant into the atmosphere.
No. It was an interesting little, it was years ago.
Wait, this was actually a job you did? Like,
friend is an AC repair / like installer scammer guy. That's like what he does. He's an HVAC guy.
Does he have a lake in front of his house?
He does not have a lake. My neighbor was an HVAC guy too. So like he's the one who trained my family friend. So it's like
does
my
he
dad,
have a lake
I
in
think,
front of his house?
I think my dad and him installed the AC on our house.
Okay.
And anytime it breaks, like they fix it. Do I know how any of it works? No. My dad
I know
does
that every single one is every single company is owned by one parent company. Like
really?
Ream, Cool Star, or whatever the heck they're called. It's all like one company. They literally come with different badges in the box to put on it.
Yeah.
It is it's a such
that's
a
why
scam.
You don't,
the government
don't
needs
pay
to look
in,
into this.
Don't pay into it, Kevin. Go to HVAC school and learn to install it.
You know,
yourself.
The thing that's
life.
Funniest to me though is like if you're gonna rip customers off by charging them a shit ton of money, like cool, like whatever. But then they still pay their employees like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
like, that's
if they paid their employees,
like,
then how would they have more money for themselves?
To build a lake? I don't know.
Exactly.
I just feel like ripping people off and paying your customers shit is like, just, come on.
You can't double dip like that.
Right.
You can if you want a lake.
Let your employees in
Kevin,
on the ripoff.
Kevin.
I want
Kevin.
A lake.
Imagine this. You wake up, have a morning coffee. You look out your giant, beautiful
lake of sewage
perfectly
in your front yard
because
you haven't
emptied
your septic tank in 3 years.
And you
but
see
it doesn't
lake.
Matter because you have 27 toilets to poop in because you're a billionaire.
Exactly.
You started pooping in the upper part of the toilet.
Yeah. You go to the next decker. Story up.
Yeah, man. You're not thinking. You're not. You're just
that's
not
the
thinking
servant's
enough.
Problem in the basement.
Yeah.
Get that. Start the Blige pump.
I was reading something. I don't remember. Someone was like describing a podcast they had listened to or something where they were like, if you give your average person like $5 million, they're just going to pound sand and go do things that they want to do. Right? For the most part.
Yeah.
If you give your average person $5 million, like a responsible person $5 million, they're going to go and live the rest of their life doing what they want to do for the most part. I mean, obviously, there's people out there. If they're
I mean,
stupid, you
rest of
their
life
for
the next couple of years, at least.
Well, that's the thing is like your average person who could like I feel like your average person could handle $5 million.
I think the problem is the moment you get $5 million, you realize that it's not as much as you think it is, because when you buy your like a few fancy cars,
right.
You buy like some other stuff.
Right.
You're like,
okay.
Wait, where's half of my money?
I don't think the average
your
person
average
means what you think
person,
average person means. Well,
let's say your average
the average
person
buys 3 Ferraris,
okay.
2
you're slightly
Lamborghinis,
above average person.
And a $10
you're slightly
million dollar
your
house,
average,
and now they have
you're
nothing.
Slightly above average person. If you give them $5 million,
I would just say someone who is more responsible and less impulsive.
Okay, someone who is not like who has an ordinary job and has a retirement account and has an understanding of how long it's going to take for them to retire.
It's like my brother. You give him $5 million, he would have whatever he has now plus $5 million in the bank. That's
yeah.
That's the big. That's his life is the same. His bank account just has a extra digit.
I think that the general idea of this thought experiment is that if you give your average person $5 million. And if they're not going to screw it up, they're going to go do just whatever they want. They're not necessarily going to try to make more money.
Okay, that's what you mean. Yeah. Like they're not going to they're going to try to live off what they have. They're not going to try to turn it into 10.
Right. Why? Yeah, cuz like if you like you're a slightly above average person is going to recognize that this $5 million is not amazing because it's a lot of money. It's amazing because it means they don't have to work anymore.
I said
So why would you turn that into more work for yourself?
I saw
you know, by trying to start a business.
If you get $5 million and you somehow make it so that you still have to work, you are an idiot.
So what I saw a terrible meme. I forget where it was. It's like
all memes are terrible.
No, it's one of the grind memes. It's like if someone were to give me, it's like some amount of money, like $5 million. Yeah. What I'd immediately do, do you see this, is give it to my worst enemy. It's because that way it would drive me to make more than him.
Then you can't post more Sigma male memes on Facebook.
It's like the dumbest thing ever. It's like you give it away so that you'd be motivated to make more than $5 million.
That has to be just like a joke.
It has to be, but it's just so dumb. It's like, or you can just keep it and invest it.
Oh my God, Nigel, I just saw this video you posted.
Kevin,
here's what I'm trying to say that this other person was trying to say that I read someone else say about this person saying.
Okay.
If you give somebody $5 million, and you help them understand how to use it responsibly, they're just going to piss off and they're just going to do things they want. They can travel, they can buy a house. They like, you know, if there's something that's too expensive for them, they need to just change their goals because you can pretty much buy anything if you have $5 million. All the experiences actually want.
You can't get a plane. You can't get any of the good yachts. Like, what's the point?
Gave you $5 million, you should be able to figure out how to be able to not work for the rest of your life and still live pretty well.
I mean, yeah.
And the point where this is going is that anyone who gets $5 million and then keeps trying to make more money than that, there's something definitely a little bit wrong with them.
In my case, I feel like if I got $5 million, I would be that person, but it's not because I want to make more money.
Because you've had like an idea that you've always wanted to try to do.
Yeah, it would be more like I now have the capital to do something I want to do that's big.
Correct. I think what this is getting at, though, is someone whose only enjoyment is making money because that's all they know how to do. Where it's like there's not something that they want to do.
What
they want to do is to grow the pile bigger. And so I think like this, like it's hard to, it's like, how do you articulate this in a way where it's like, if you give somebody $5 million, they should be able to, if they're not a complete idiot and not $6 million in debt, they should be able to take that $5 million and live the rest of their life doing whatever they want. And that's, I think, what most people would do as long as they didn't mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you took the $5 million and you essentially figured out a plan for them where you gave them X amount of dollars per month, and if they still at the end of the month had to go get a job for the next month, they're an idiot. Does that make sense?
I'm not debating that.
So if you get $5 million and you have a mentality where you still try to make more money, there's definitely a reevaluation that needs to happen because you really don't need more than that. So why are you trying to make more? Are you trying to make, like, build a lake in front of your house?
Yeah, dude, if the lake's $3 million, you can't spend half your money on it.
I guess that's the thing is, like, I think what the post was trying to say that I agree with is that a lot of people who try to make more money aren't actually trying to do something they want to do. They're just, the only thing they know how to do is make more money. Like that's the feedback loop they're in, is like make more money.
I would qualify what you're saying is, like, I think what you're saying is once you get given that much money, what you should be doing is you should be having, like, because obviously let's say you're making like $5K a year, you know, on the total polar other end. It makes sense that your goal is to make more because every extra dollar you make will have like a great impact on your life.
Correct.
But it's like once you get to $5 million, it's like your goals should shift because every extra dollar has no impact, really.
A negligible impact on your life. Correct.
So it's like if your goals don't shift, and kind of like I said, if I have a big project to work on that I've always wanted to do, that's not to make more money. That's to
do things you want to do.
Right. Yeah, so it's like if you're not shifting to that, then like you said, you have some sort of problem because you're stuck in some weird mindset where you think the number means something and it's no longer attached to like your quality of life. It's like some weird just...
It's like a dopamine feedback loop where like that's your goal for the day. Like look at like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Like how is that? Like look at... like
I don't get that. I don't get that.
There's the two social medias. There's MySpace. So you have Tom from MySpace. Who, do you know what that guy does now?
What? I don't know.
Oh, he travels. This guy lives the life.
He's like pissed off with his MySpace money, and he travels, and he has this like photography Instagram account where he like posts really good pictures that he takes.
He's doing it right. What are you doing, Mark Zuckerberg? Why are you still working?
That's what I've wondered.
It's like, Like, do you actually enjoy running this horrible company?
Brainworms.
That's what it is. It's like, did you see the video when he, I'm sorry, Mark, if you're watching this. I'm just joking. Do you see the video with him where he's advertising? I just say that because didn't him and like Gary Vee do a Riverside chat or something? So we're on Riverside and I'm like, Mark,
actually?
That's what's on the main page. Either way, that's totally aside. He did like he announced their collaboration with Ray-Bans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, it's this new revolutionary thing with like Ray-Bans. And I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like,
just add it to the pile.
I'm just like, but why are you excited about this?
Who's Gary Vee?
Oh, we don't need to get into that.
It's probably better that you don't know. I don't really even fully know, but I know that I don't want more.
You could just do it.
He made Ray-Bans?
No.
No, I think he's like a horrible motivational speaker thing. Like it's almost like the Minion meme, except for people.
All right.
He's basically a motivational speaker /business/ I don't know. I actually don't know too much. I just know that Riverside was advertised as, I think, Gary Vee talking to Mark.
You know, like
I'm not on the front page.
The mega
right now.
Church pastors.
Yeah.
He's like that, but for motivational speakers.
But I think the difference is that he actually does have, he isn't just spewing rant. No. I've literally only seen the clips that people have made fun of him for. So I have a very, very, very bad idea of what he does. But I'm saying that from the gist that I get is that he does, unlike I'm saying the some of the preacher people or other people who just kind of like spew absolute nonsense. It's just like there's at least, I think he does know what he's doing. It's just that you can argue that the stuff he says, like to get motivated, kind of doesn't help a lot of people because that oftentimes it's like people want to start a YouTube channel and it's like telling the person all this motivational stuff doesn't necessarily really, it gets them started, but it doesn't truly help them. Like you can't just think, yell at a guy enough and get him motivated enough to start a business. It doesn't make it successful.
I just think the irony of it is it's like how many like someone like that makes a lot of money, right? Like if you have that big of a platform, you're motivating people to make money.
I look at what he does. I actually don't know anything about him.
The only motivation you have is to like make more money. You know what I'm saying? Like once you get past a certain threshold, like
you can't be a motivational speaker and not have money.
Right. Your motivation can't be making more money. That's insane. I think that's the point, is it sort of shows like how is that fulfilling, like where's the fulfillment?
So I read his on Wikipedia under reception, it says he has earned social media following around mentorship, however critics have called him a snake oil salesman. that's the whole line.
And so now it's like you have someone who's if he's at this position, there's no way he's not successful already.
Yeah,
right? So he has to have money.
John, what up, man? It's Gary Vee.
Is that you watching a video? How come
that was
me
watching Gary Vee? I'm so motivated.
Is that an external speaker? So I think this is the interesting thing is like you have somebody who makes a bunch of money, in air quotes, potentially doing snake oil, but then continues to the same practices of potentially maybe selling snake oil to motivate people to make more money. You see what I'm saying? Where it's like if you want to scam people and then you've made money, you've made your money. But why do you have to keep scamming them?
I do think at least the difference is, I think I'm reading his wiki page. I think he did get success in business before doing the mentoring stuff. So it's like, I'm just saying that some of the people who are like the motivational speakers, it's kind of like that, like you said, that weird circular loop where it's like, well, what do? Well, they have a huge history of good motivational speeches. And you're like, what are their actual qualifications? It's like their qualifications are that they're rich from motivational speaking. And that's why people go to see them. It's like this weird loop. But I think he actually did have business experience. So I'm saying that he might have like motivational fluff that might not be that helpful, but it's that may not make it better, but it's like at least he does have business experience. I don't know if that makes any difference.
But doesn't
to be
it
honest.
Scare you a little bit that there's someone who's like giving motivational like speaking advice, but has already succeeded? And it's like, then all they do is they keep doing the same thing. And it's like, is he doing it because he thinks he's helping people? Like probably
not. I'd like
not,
to see him start another business.
Right. If I had one question that I could ask, like Mark Zuckerberg. I'd be like, hey, like, why do you still work at Facebook? Like, why do you show up to the office every day?
That's what I don't get.
That's my question. Is like, why do you still do that? Because, you know, everyone, I think, collectively agrees that Facebook has like a negative impact on society. So now it's like, it's almost the opposite of charity, right? Where it's like, you're building this machine.
Actually, I understand it. I understand.
What?
I will explain to you. This is my dissertation on Mark Zuckerberg that I wrote right okay. now. So we have to do this, we have to go back to where Facebook started. No, I'm not going to tell the whole story.
Oh, we're getting...
Basically, okay. good old... just going to tell a whole story that's half fake.
I'm ready.
It's, I'm ready. It's based on loosely on the time that I half watched the... What's that movie with Justin Timberlake? The...
Social Network?
Journey to the Center of the Earth?
The Social Network or whatever. Oh. Back when he... What campus was he on? Oh, God. Was it Harvard? One of those... Whatever. He went
you
to
see something.
He was in a university, a college. He was in a school. And okay, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Basically, he was a young 20-something-year-old who allegedly borrowed the idea from two other people, those twins.
Oh, I think it was MIT.
And turned it into the Social Network. I think that like Facebook is kind of, because when you're going through the ages of like 18 to like 25, I feel like you really, that's where you kind of get your grasp of who and what you are. I think he grew with Facebook. So I think now that he's like 30, I don't know how old he is, it's like, if he left Facebook, who is he? That's everything he is.
A rich man.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like,
who cares?
But Kevin, he probably isn't like you. He doesn't have. I'm actually this is a total lie. I've seen him surfing with the American flag. I've seen him cooking ribs. I take this back. He has a lot of hobbies.
He's an all-American homeboy.
But I'm just saying that, like, I do understand to a certain degree because I feel a bit the same about the YouTube stuff. Is like, if I ever were to be like, I'm not doing YouTube anymore, I feel like because I started it when I was like 23. It's kind of weird. It's like, this is everything I know. And part of what keeps me here is because it's part of my identity. It's like what I do now. I can't remember. I can't remember a time I didn't do YouTube. So I feel
YouTube
like that could
stressful,
be a driving factor.
But not nearly as stressful as he probably has it.
I know. I'm just saying, though, that's he's probably in this thing where it's like he could walk away. But then what?
So you're saying Mark Zuckerberg is Facebook.
It has to be bound to him psychologically in some way.
So he's like, Mark Zuckerberg is like in the Matrix when they stick like the probe into your like brain stem.
We should get him on this podcast and ask him. If we got Mark on this podcast, we should send out a formal invitation.
He would never do that.
What?
He would never do that. Because, like, I wouldn't like.
I'm
you
just
know,
joking.
No, but I think that'd be like, I would love to talk to like any of these people. Like, I would love to be able to just ask somebody these sorts
Mark,
of like
why
weird questions.
Why are you
like,
still running Facebook?
There's a couple, but like they would never say this publicly, but like just for my own curiosity, like I've met people in real life that I have not directly asked questions, but like there's sort of been like, you know, very, very close acquaintances that I've asked, you know, kind of like these personal questions about how they know this person, like very like high profile people, and asking questions about like, oh, like how did they change when they got a bunch of money? Like, how do you go from having, you know, just being a kid to being like, you know, like multi-million, hundred, well, not even multi-million, but like hundred millionaire, like, or billionaire kind of situation where it's like, you know, like that is so much money that you can't even begin to like describe how much money that is. Like the number means nothing, you know, like it essentially turns, like if you go out to dinner with your friends and dinner, each person's dinner costs $100. That's like not even pennies to you. So it's like, it wouldn't even be worth your time to pick up a penny off the ground. But then you still make your friends pay for food, even though it's $0 to you, essentially. You know what I'm saying? Like those kinds of weird situations where money is so like untangible at that point, because it's like you have so much of it. Like, how does that change a person? And I think like the answer that I got was essentially just made people, like their eccentricities, like they just became more eccentric, like their weird quirks just became more exaggerated and like not always for the better.
I have a comment too. Are you done? Or?
Well, I mean, it also sort of, I think, made people like, you know, less willing, like people became less interested in more in mundane things and more mundane people. So like, you know, for example, if someone made a bunch of money that you were friends with, they kind of would slowly creep away from you, if that makes sense. Like, that you would become sort of less interesting or less valuable to them. And it might not always be like that, but I think that there is, like, you have less in common with them now.
Mm.
Yeah, I would say it's more of that than anything else. You know, you don't, you're doing your own thing. You know, you might not have time to go to the same grocery store as them anymore, or like you're not living in the same apartment complex, going to the same sports events.
But I think that there is just a natural like drifting. I think even so, one thing I was gonna say about just like making the money. I think there's also a difference. We can get back to this, but it's like there's a difference of how quickly you make the money. Like if you made $100 million over 10 years, where the first year you made let's say $10K, the next year you made like 50 or 100, then the next year you made like 300, and it like you tripled and then went up kind of exponentially. I feel like you're much more well adapted than if you just made all that money all at once. Worse.
I think getting it all at once would be better because it would force you to have like a hard evaluation, because you'd have to sit there and you're like, here is me right now.
I don't know. I feel like a lot
what
of people.
What is me in the future?
I feel like it's
I'm also different though. I feel the way I perceive everything is like I'm very future paranoid. Like I'm constantly looking into the future of like, you know, like what would make me comfortable is like, okay, how, like if I want to retire with this much money, how much money do I think, I feel like we've probably talked about this before in the last time we talked about money when people yelled at us. Like how do I make sure that I'm going to be able to like not have to work every single day for the rest of my life, kind of thing. Like that's kind of what gives me security. Mm-hmm. It's like past William is usually pretty good to future William, like 90% of the time.
Usually.
And so I feel like if you just got presented the situation of like, all right, cool, you just, you know, either won the lottery or someone bought your company for an obscene amount of money, and you're like, all right, I have this X amount of dollars, and it's like, you know, I mean, 100 million is like, that's a crazy number, right? Like that's an insane amount of money. I think that you could pretty quickly try to establish some like baseline, whereas if you made money slowly, you're gonna like become maybe numb to it and almost have completely maybe forgotten where you came from and like forget about how much money you actually have.
Yeah, but I mean, give what 10 years of anybody's life, what's going to be the same as it was 10 years ago? Not
right.
much.
Right. But if you give them a bunch of money and it's like a slow transition, they're gonna sort of like forget about that. Because you do forget about it. Like, you forget about, you know, the problems you had as a kid. Like, I remember going to get food as a kid in, like, high school. And we went to, like, California Pizza Kitchen. And I got a pizza. And it was, like, $14. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I spent way... Like, I should not have done that.
Like, I mean, that's normal, though. I mean, I think everybody goes through that for the most part. Like, you know, you're a poor college kid or, like, a poor teenager.
But it's easy to forget.
Then you get your first
that.
Job. And suddenly, like, oh, wow, you can afford the $50 a year for your Xbox Live membership.
Right. Right.
Whereas like when you were 8 years old, that was a ton of money.
Right. But you're talking
but
about people like...
If it's like multiples, like, order of magnitude difference.
Yeah. Like it's just, I don't know. It's hard. I feel like it's one of those things that's very difficult to like for people to like to explain or to try to understand if you haven't like experienced it or seen it. And that's why I would like, that's the question I would love to ask somebody like Mark Zuckerberg is like, why do you still work at Facebook? Or, you know, because like even Elon Musk, like I feel like Elon Musk is closer to us in the sense of like he has these big ideas and it seems to be less about money and more about like he's got these crazy, you know, like he wants to do rocket stuff. He wants to do, you know, like electric vehicles. It's like it's almost like he has like motivations.
Yeah. He's got all these pet projects he's working on. He's making progress. Right. It's, you know, he's like actively doing things and moving forward.
Right, and look at Bezos, like with the, you know, the giant yacht.
Yeah, what is he doing?
Like, no, that's just wait. Are you criticizing money. Mark Rober's like collaboration with Ray-Bans? Mark Rober's, oh my God, Mark Zuckerberg's collaboration with Ray-Bans? Are you kidding me?
Why would they even do that,
dude? It's crazy, man. You can use Facebook on your glasses now.
I actually don't remember what this is about. I didn't hear that.
It was just you watch it and you're just like, why? You didn't see
what's it? I want a Facebook collaboration with a porcelain toilet company so I can make a post of a shit every
Here,
time
I'll show
I take
you
a
thing.
Shit.
It was like Ray-Ban smart glasses so that you can
Ray-Ban stories.
I want the new Facebook toilet where it's got
so
a camera.
So it pairs
that just
with
takes
Facebook's app so you can share your point of view.
I want everyone to see what disaster I leave in my toilet every day on my Facebook wall.
It's like it's kind of interesting as like a thing, like having cameras in your glasses. Like it's not like the worst thing ever, but it's just the idea where it's like they. I don't know who on their PR team was like, you know what, Mark, you should present this. It was one of the weirdest presentations, like at the very beginning.
Okay, here's like if someone gave you $5 million, what would you decide to do? Go and have would, an adventure and, of your life?
No,
go and start a business to try to make more money?
Me? Yeah. That's what I would do.
I would invest it in stuff for myself.
To do what you want to do.
For my own happiness, which like, does yeah, not
Kevin,
include
Kevin, what makes you
making
happy?
A business. I would buy a big house in a neighborhood with not a lot, with no people, and a lot of trees, and a lot of machinery, and a lot of dirt bikes. And
a lake, perhaps?
Oh, it's going to have a lake for sure with a secret underground room. It's going to be like a dome room where you can look
that's
up
epic.
And see the poop floating
Kevin's
by.
Kevin's the guy that you want to give $100 million to.
No, but that's epic. I would go there. And I can just
Did
see
I tell you?
Kevin's property would be that run down, like the weird thing where it's like you find out Kevin's a multimillionaire and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. This, he drives.
Like Kevin's all dirty with like grease all over him. There's just like half
taken. I'm like,
taken,
let me show you the submarine.
There's just like half taken apart motors covered in grease and engine parts and it's just half projects done everywhere.
I'm feeling a little attacked right now.
No, I'm saying it's good. It means that like you have hobbies and you know what you like.
Even if you did all that, like I don't think that you could figure out like how do you live that lifestyle but also like spend $100 million. Like I don't think you could.
You can't. No, like I think unless you start buying like planes, yachts, and all that like really over the top things, it's like if you want to live a lifestyle and still have a connection with the with someone who's remotely still has like you want to stay in touch with reality.
Right. Did we ever talk about helicopters? Did we ever talk about
maybe
that?
Maybe vaguely.
The helicopter economy? Did I ever share my research into the helicopter economy?
I think you must have mentioned
it. I feel like you did, but if we forgot, we could use a refresher. If we can't remember, go for it.
So here's an example of like money and what it can buy you and how little that amounts to. So like I last year took a bunch of helicopter lessons. I've got like 15 hours and boy, by God, our helicopter lessons are expensive. It's like $500 an hour. So I think I spent a total of like maybe $7,000.
You said $500
an hour. Yeah. So it's basically every time you do it, it's like $500. And that's in an R-44, which is like one of the like cheapest helicopters you can get. And so I started looking into the practicality of buying a helicopter because I was like, you know, I just like, who doesn't love the idea of like a plane or a helicopter and whatnot? Do I have to explain myself? Like it's a freaking helicopter, like eat my ass. And you can buy an R-44 for about $200,000. That's like bottom of the barrel. So like long story short, the way that helicopters work is they're rated for flight time. And specifically Robinsons, which like on the low end of helicopters, which are like your hobby helicopter, they're rated for flight time, also age. And so you don't have to keep track of parts or anything. It makes it much simpler where it's like either it's 2,200 hours or 12 years, I think. Whichever comes first. So if you hit 2,200 hours, helicopter's done. The helicopter needs to go through a whole rebuild process, which costs like $150,000 to $200,000 or something insane like that. Maybe more. If you hit the 12 years before burning through 2,200 hours, it's done. Helicopter's done. You got to go through the whole rebuild process. And so if you want to buy a helicopter, the cheapest helicopters to get are the ones that don't have a whole lot of time on them, because even if they've got a bunch of hours, you can't use them. And so you can get like a pretty good helicopter for a pretty good price. And it turns into like maybe $250,000. So let's say you can buy a helicopter for $250,000. Like what does the fuel cost? What does the insurance cost? What does the, and like at the end of the day, if you burn through every single last hour in this helicopter as a, like to get all your hours done, the lowest you can get your hourly cost down to is like $200 an hour. So every hour that you sit in this helicopter costs you $200. And that's if you use all the hours. So that's $200 times 2,200 hours.
What's that work out to?
I don't know. It's a freaking shit.
$440,000?
Yeah. And so then you start thinking about like, okay, well, how do helicopters actually work? And it's like, well, if you have one, you park it somewhere. So like, let's say you have a place, like your house, you could park it at your house. You know, if you can land there And then it's like, okay, well, how do you get into it? And it's like, well, you get in an helicopter, you like, you turn it on, you like do your inspection. And it's like, this all takes like 10 to 15 minutes. And then you like turn it on, you let it warm up. Like there's this whole checklist you're supposed to go through if you don't want to die. And even then you still might die. And then you like, you fly to where you want to go, but the max speed of the helicopter is like 150 miles an hour, maybe like 200 miles an hour or something like, maybe 150 knots. I don't know exactly what it was. So it's not even that fast. Like it's pretty fast, but it's not that fast. And then when you get to where you want to go, guess what? You have to land. Like, where can you land? Like, where the hell can you land?
Anywhere you want. You're in a helicopter.
Yeah. Like there's only one way to do that though, is if you have an emergency, you can land anywhere you want technically. But if you
can't like land in a parking lot.
You can't land in a parking lot. You cannot do that. If you do that, you will get in trouble unless you say, like, my oil light was on or some bullshit. But even then, they'll be mad and all the rocks that were flung at cars around you will...
You can land at your other rich friend's house.
Right. And so, like, what ends up happening is you have this vehicle that is very expensive and almost completely useless.
Yeah. So don't a lot of people just kind of rent them out? Like, they have the helicopter. They use it sometimes, but other times they're leasing it out to, like, other people...
I think people do like timeshares or something where they'll go in on a helicopter, or they'll, you know, like you can rent one from like the school I was taking lessons at. You can rent them, and that's the right way to do it. But it just like, it's like that's what people spend their money on when they have too much of it. They buy this thing which doesn't even solve any of their problems.
It,
like,
literally, it burns money.
Yes, it's just a toy.
Like, I mean, dude, it's fun to fly a helicopter.
That's it. It's just a toy though. But like, if you want to go from. Like, you know, let's say you need to fly to LAX, like you're taking a plane somewhere. The amount of time that it takes to get from the local airport, like from your house to LAX in a helicopter, will be just as long, if not slower, than just driving to LAX because of the time it takes to start the helicopter up, the time it takes to like take off and do this. Like one of the lessons I did, I had them pick me up from Santa Barbara Airport because I was coming back from somewhere. I don't remember. I think it was maybe your house, Kevin, in Florida. And it took like 10 minutes for air traffic to let us take off.
A helicopter is either a very specialized tool or a recreational vehicle.
Yeah.
Like there's no in between.
Yep. That's it. It's like a shuttle.
I guess maybe like shuttling somebody to and from an airport.
If your time is worth thousands of dollars an hour, like you're some CEO or something, like, okay, maybe. Like if you're Elon Musk, like.
Yeah, but then it's almost like it's a company thing and it's not even an individual thing.
Right.
So still, it's like that's a tool to get people somewhere really fast.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that's like that's the kind of thing that if you have a bunch of money, you buy a helicopter. It doesn't actually solve any of your problems.
Yeah.
It just costs money. It's just a
It's like an RV. Everything's a huge hassle. You got to plan where you're going to go.
Yeah.
Do they have hookups?
Right. It ends up like you get to the campsite and they're like all the spots are taken.
Yeah. You can't go off-roading with it. Yeah.
Like it is so painful, and it's like that goes back to like if you had $5 million, you could buy a helicopter, but it wouldn't make your life any better. Like it would just be a toy. You should just rent one at that point.
I think you could do it and break even by like renting it out or something like that, but you wouldn't even get to use it yourself.
Now you're like running a
business.
Like you just rent someone else's. What do they say? You don't want a boat. You want a friend with a boat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I bet like if you. There's no way you could spend as much money as it would cost you to own a helicopter. Like if you just wanted to go rent it and fly it like every weekend.
No, you couldn't.
No way.
So let's say if it cost you like, I think it was a little bit less expensive to rent. So let's say it's like $450 an hour. So if a helicopter ends up at the end of the day, it costs you like $200,000 like down the drain. Cause you can sell the core, which is like the helicopter that needs to be rebuilt. And you take $200,000 divided by, let's say $450.
It'd be like 1,000 hours.
It's like 400 hours. Like, dude, like, man. That means you'd have to fly like, you know, an hour and a half every single day for a whole year.
Uh-huh.
Like, dude, after an hour flying a helicopter, you're like toasted. It's a lot of work.
That's a lot. That's a lot of flying. And like, then, you know, you could just rent it your entire life. And you would be spending the same amount as somebody who has to like, Then you're like obligated
to use it if you
bought it.
Guaranteed you'll spend less money.
Yep, totally. Because if you 100%. Have it, you're obligated to use it. Because it's burning money sitting there, and it's burning money if you're using it.
Uh-huh.
Man, helicopters sort of really are a trap.
It sucks, dude. It sucks. So like I went from being super excited about it and like doing all this research and being on like these forums looking for used ones.
Yeah, you made like a simulator, joysticks. You made me one.
Yeah, you haven't spoken about it in a long time.
The what?
Helicopters. The excitement just died.
Well, it sort of died a little bit when I realized that the whole thing was essentially pointless and that anyone who has a helicopter just has too much money and should have donated it to a food kitchen.
I guess if you want to drive a helicopter a lot, get a job, join the Navy.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
and then you can burn the taxpayer money.
Because then it pays for your training and you can have a job doing helicopters for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now it isn't the best time to enlist, but.
No. I just imagine like to myself, like, okay, like if that's really expensive and it doesn't seem like it's worth it, like what are things out there that you could even spend a bunch of money on that would be worth it?
I mean,
I still think I double down. I remember last time I said I would turn down the $100 million.
Yeah.
I told you what I would do now. I talked a bunch about it recently. Open source software.
Oh yeah. Like the 3D modeling. Yeah.
I think that'd be the best way to spend money.
That's a noble pursuit.
I think that it's like, it's almost one of those things too, where it's like a challenge where you can sort of make this tool that you want.
Dude.
And then it's like, what am I going to do? Build a business around it? Like, hell no. I can just pay people. You pay people to develop this thing. And it's just like Blender. It's just there. Like you can just use it if you want to use it.
Watch me. Fusion 360. This is me. Watch me open up Fusion 360.
Oh God. These screen records never work.
Watch Fusion just take a fat dump. Every time I start it, if this happens, maybe somebody who knows in 2 weeks from now, they'll be able to tell me how to fix this. But I've been trying to do something for my video all day today, and I've uninstalled it. I've reinstalled it. Nothing. Do you see this? Is my screen? Do you see this?
I'm just waiting for Kevin's whole computer to blue screen right now.
Did you see it? Like everything turned black though?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So now watch. What would you do in this scenario? It doesn't even matter. It closed.
Use what was the other one? Use
No, that's so much worse.
No, Solid Edge. Solid Edge, it is definitely kind of shit, but it's still powerful. Use FreeCAD.
So anyway, this was an example of how bad software is and Will's
so Kevin
wants
just
to make it better.
Open Fusion 360 and your webcam just crapped out. You're like killing your computer right now.
Yeah, that was my camera.
Nigel, you look like you're dying on the inside. Yeah, there you go. I say that and then you smile.
I'm typing and I'm angry.
What are you mad at?
Basically, I mean, not to get into too many details. I bought some software.
Yeah.
From a website.
Does it make you want to make an open source version of it for free?
No. I bought a software from a website. And then when I booted it up, it was the 2019 version. But the current version is 2022.
Okay.
So I emailed them, which was already a pain to even find out how, saying like, hey, why is this a 3-year-old version? It's like you can buy the current version for the exact same price on the company's website. I was buying it through a different website. And they're like, sorry, we can't refund you because all the tech specs were there. It's not. It's not on the page at all. It doesn't say that you're buying a 3-year-old version. So I finally found a page to complain to them.
Kevin, turn your screen share. Get off Discord, Kevin.
I finally found a page.
Oh, God, I've been busted.
I found a page to complain to them. So I wrote a complaint email. I click submit. It goes, sorry, you've been idle too long. You must log in again. So I log in. It goes, okay, you can type your message. It just deleted the message.
So we'll tell us about...
Rage.
That sucks, Nigel.
Kevin's like, that sucks. That's anyway, moving
I'm sorry.
On.
No, I feel like I cut off Will and then... We got too sidetracked.
What?
I was just raging because you were gone, so I had to fill the space with emotion.
I'm just talking about anger. People who make... If
so like
you give
in the chat window
person...
on the website, it says you've been inactive for too long while you were waiting for him to fix your problem?
No, like you log into the website. They make you log in before you write your complaint email. But we started the podcast and then I just clicked the button. I saw it and I realized I only had like a sentence to write. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to write this last sentence and say thank you. So I did. But when I hit like submit, it said, sorry, you've been logged out. So then when I logged back in, it was a blank page and said, please write your message. And I'm like, really?
Oh my God.
I always copy and paste.
I normally click Control A, Control C, but I was like, you know what? They won't be this bad. Yep. And they were.
Sometimes it saves it. I don't know how it works, but you can hit back and it'll still be there typed
in. I tried. It didn't work. I'm just sad.
And sometimes
companies
make
it a lot easier for you to give them money than for them to give you your money back.
Sorry?
Companies make it a lot easier to take for you to
do a chargeback on them to get my money back. Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah. What was the software?
Mocha Pro. So it's like motion tracking thing.
No, I know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like,
doesn't it come with After Effects?
No, as far as I know. But
no, it does.
I mean,
he doesn't use After Effects.
It's an add-on for After Effects. I don't think it comes.
No, it comes with After Effects. It always used to come with After Effects.
Does it?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Did you just pay money for a license? You
didn't. This was a while ago.
After Effects right now.
But basically, but I want it for
Adobe needs an open source version too. Adobe is like in the shitter, I think. Like I don't understand.
Yeah, it is.
What is going on? But
Mocha AE. So they have Mocha AE, which is like.
Yeah.
But I guess it's almost the same thing. I didn't even know
it
that.
It is exactly the same.
Oh no, it isn't, because you. I mean, I have this thing here. I wanted Mocha 22. Which has like a lot more stuff than.
Why are you buying Mocha? What are you doing with
Python scripts?
Dude, you don't. You
can write your own Python
script. Do not need to know what I'm doing with Mocha. I'm
power.
I'm changing
and mesh
the
work
world.
Stabilization.
I'm trying to fathom what the hell you would need Mocha for.
Oh, I know. I bet I know what it's for. Gave us a hint in one of his other in an earlier episode.
Nothing you'll ever say is correct, but guess.
Can I guess?
Yeah, because I don't have an answer. So
does it? Oh, okay.
Are you watching Video Copilot tutorials?
I don't even know who that is.
Well, then why the hell are you buying Mocha? That's the only reason you'd ever buy Mocha.
Do you want to do like machine learning?
No, Mocha is a tracking program.
Yeah, so I bought it because I had to try. I did a time lapse that was a giant nightmare, and After Effects, whatever, it wasn't working with the Mocha, the After Effects. So I got a trial of Mocha and it worked. So then I got the real version, but I have some ideas of things I want to use.
What were you tracking?
Secret.
Wait, so this only does like tracking like post-production. This is only post-production.
I know a lot about this.
So I thought you were going to use it for like your robot arm.
Oh, no, I want to do some cinematic. I want to do stuff like outside of YouTube and do some other like
Mocha,
other stuff.
Mocha is for like planar tracking.
I want to do some fancy stuff.
What? I'm trying to. What were you doing?
It's more what will I do than what am I doing?
Why
what
are you
could you do with this that you couldn't do just by like keyframing stuff manually?
The motion track is much more.
Keyframing is harder than you think.
Like the motion tracking
is
very good.
That's usually what I do.
To get it really good, though, like
it doesn't need to be really good.
No, I'll tell
it
you this. It depends
like
on what you're doing. That's why I'm asking Nigel what he's doing.
Yeah.
Give us this. Type it in chat.
No, it's not. It's not a secret. There was a couple things. I did a time lapse, and what happened was I don't know why, but the camera shook in the time lapse.
Right.
So there was weird camera shake, and on top of it shaking, it moved around, but in like weird ways. So I tried to use the After Effects, like in After Effects tracking, it didn't work. I tried to use the Vegas tracking, didn't work. The only one I found was Mocha actually worked. So
I think the only reason you would ever use Mocha is if you are trying to stabilize, like if you're trying to track like a surface, like,
yeah,
like Mocha will work for what you're trying to do, but it's like there are way simpler ways of doing it.
Mocha for like simulating images on a phone screen?
Perfect example.
But that's what I want to do weird CGI. That's all I'll say.
You can, but I think if you're trying to just stabilize a shot like that, like, so in, when you have a camera, there's a couple of problems with tracking. Is like, one is like, it's called, the first thing is called nodal pan. Nodal pan is when the camera rotates around the like optical axis. And so what happens is you could take a sphere and project an image onto the sphere and you could look around it. That's a nodal pan.
You can do some
the
cool stuff.
The issue is when you start translating the camera, you end up with parallax, right? Where you have this issue where the background and foreground move at different rates. So the nodal pan simplicity disappears. But if you have very small amounts of translation, you can pretty much ignore the parallax. And so if you just have a camera on a tripod and it's shaking, that's something that you should absolutely be able to solve with just a regular track.
It
just delete that frame or two.
The other problem too, honestly, it's like
I, Nigel, I know a lot about
this. So basically I bought it as in it was kind of like, it was the only thing that seemed to fix my problem in a way that wasn't a giant nightmare. I spent a lot of time trying to fix it. So I was like, I bought it as an investment so that I was honestly interested in learning it just because I think it's kind of fun, because I would like to do just some of that type of stuff, like being able to mask out people, like mask out things in the background. I just think it could be fun to learn that stuff. So it was kind of like more for fun than it is. I don't plan to do like any crazy.
I would say that you can do 90% of what you want to do in After Effects.
That's true. I just hate After Effects.
If you're buying external tools, you probably have done something, like you've missed something.
I just don't like After Effects. But also apparently the...
Why?
I just find the layout, I don't know, there's just something weird. It always makes me mad when I use it.
It's like...
Same here.
Kevin.
Really?
Like, no, like I was in After Effects a while ago just trying...
Any of those programs.
Just trying to do like a tracking... I was just trying to do a tracked motion, like mask thing.
Yeah.
And I have the little area I've selected, and then I just go to change it, and it just doesn't let me move the little dots. And I look up online, people are like, there's no... It's not intuitive. I find that there's like a lot of stuff. I hit a wall, and then I just don't, unless I know somebody who does After Effects and I ask them specifically how to fix it.
That's me.
You're just kind of like screaming at your computer.
So, okay. So yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. Because there definitely are some processes where it sort of takes you into what feels like subsystems. Like the motion tracking tool is sort of a tool that's like inside of a After Effects. So it's like when you want to edit the motion tracking data, it takes you to like the source
footage. I'm gonna have to edit the keyframes and I don't know.
Yeah.
The keyframe, it's exactly. It's like the weird.
So it's like the keyframes are available to you in After Effects, but unable to engage with them in the tracking tool, you have to like take that source footage and go back into the tracking tool. And then it'll load the keyframes in. To the tracking tool, and so you can then retrack
it. Like you have to export that segment of video and then re-put it and then put it back in the timeline.
You don't have to do that. If you want to track stuff, I think typically it tracks at the lowest level. So if you want to track footage, it will track at the source. So if you have like a composition and you're trying to track the composition, I don't think it likes that. Like it needs footage to track. And so it will only track raw video clips. So if you do something to it and then you want to track it later, which I don't necessarily, probably if you're doing that, probably means you're doing something wrong. You should always be tracking like the raw footage. Like why would you change something and then export it and then track it again? Like that's kind of a weird pipeline.
No, it's just like, say it's in the timeline. I want to, you know, I have it open. It's already there. I want to add some tracking text to it.
Right.
Why do I have to open up a whole new program, have to like
you don't
find
to that.
That clip in the Finder?
No, you don't have to do that.
That's how it works with Final Cut Pro, though.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't have to do that, no. So if you want to do that in Premiere, yeah, it's the same thing. You have to go inside of After Effects to do some tracking.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You got to go inside of a new program.
So like the most confusing part about After Effects is like everything is kind of like when I would do it, I would try to keep everything like super like parametric, where if I would track footage... I would take the data from the track footage and I would attach it to a null object, which is just like a shape that doesn't render out. It's like a little red square. And then you would take that the information that you wanted to attach to your video, and I would parent it to the null object. So now that the text that you want to stick to something is like it's leashed to this shape that doesn't render out. So you can still move your object around manually, but you're not actually manipulating the keyframe data that's been dumped onto that object. That keyframe data is being stored on the null object. Does that make sense? So it's like you track the footage, you dump that information into this little shape that doesn't render out, and then you can like glue things to it so that if you
want
to move
it. As long as there's
not
like a crazy amount of parallax or something.
Right. So if there's parallax, now you've got, it's a much more complicated track. And so that's why I'm asking with like Mocha and stuff is when you have to open Mocha, it means that you didn't plan very well when you were shooting.
I mean, it depends.
I will make
it depends
fun of anybody's
what you're
decision.
Doing. right? It depends what you're doing. But it's definitely for more complex stuff. Like, the majority of what I do, no. If you open it, you've taken out something that is going to be a time sink and a bunch of effort that you are fixing. This is your last resort, basically. I do understand that.
Yeah, you should be able. I mean, I would be surprised if you really couldn't fix it with just the built-in tracking tools. Like, what do you, like, the only reason, like, the only time I would use Mocha is if I was trying to get something to stick to a wall really well. Like, if you needed something that was, like, glued to a wall that you couldn't see any shifting or, like, any, like, even, like, just micro shifting.
I think what happened, too, is...
Then I would use Mocha.
It was, at the same time, the thing that I was filming, the camera was moving, but the thing was, it's a cylinder, and it rotated right. slowly, and it was moving around. And I think it was in After Effects. If it tracked the exact same point,
correct,
it would end up moving in weird ways. Whereas in Mocha, correct, you can track like a large area, and it has like it algorithmically like will warp it so it looks better.
After Effects is like a surf is like a point tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
So like the built-in trackers will track like clusters of pixels, whereas Mocha will track like a surface texture.
Yeah, so I think that's what helped me. Either way, it was also just because I thought it would be fun to, I don't know, I want to do some funny, I want to do some like, you know,
the
camera
fact that
tricks.
You bought it without realizing it's inside of After Effects, so that's
no, but I
don't know what that mentality is called, but it's like the buying thing mentality. I don't know how to describe
it. I wanted to use it in, because I edit in Vegas, so I wanted to use it through Vegas. Yeah. The other thing though is that the full version, like the Mocha, like the Pro, AE is a limited version, apparently.
You don't need
anything.
Dude,
I'm using every single function. I'm using Mocha Pro, you know, to every single function in detail. No.
Give us a, show us something.
I don't have anything.
You know? What? God damn.
Nigel bought this license and it's just going to sit on his computer and he's like, never.
No, what actually happened was I bought it. I used it.
Yeah.
And then I was planning to look into it more. Then I started working on the most recent video and I've had no time. Until today, when I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna look at it," and then I got pissed because I remembered it wasn't the newest version.
You need to go and watch some video copilot tutorials. Mm.
Video copilot.
Andrew Kramer, a god amongst men.
Here's the thing, Nigel. I can make fun of you for doing this, and you could have done it with keyframes or whatever. But since you said it was for fun, I'm powerless.
Again.
Because I do the same thing, so that's valid. If you're doing it for fun,
I'm not going to give you shit for doing it however you want to do it. I'm going to give you shit for buying a license to a piece of software that you probably actually already have without realizing it.
That's fair.
You should ask me all this stuff. This is like the one thing. Like, if I didn't do any engineering stuff, I probably would have gone into like motion graphics and compositing.
Honestly, I wanted it for Vegas. I saw that it worked. That it worked. The reason why I got messed up too is I bought it through the website that sells Vegas, which is where like the annoyance comes from, because they just sold an old version. Whereas it's like, if I knew that, I would have just bought it directly, or I would have actually like, obviously just, I think I did see it in After Effects, but I wanted specifically
whatever
one of
the
other
After
functions they
have. There's no way that other function is actually going to make your life any easier. Like what you can do with After Effects, like it's like Photoshop. Like just because you have the tool doesn't mean you can just make things. So you got to sort of learn the processes as well. Like how do you actually, you know, do something? And
you see, no.
Tracking,
look, Mocha Pro 22 has a Python script editor. Mocha AE doesn't. And that's exactly what I needed. I needed to be able to write my Python scripts.
Wait, actually?
No.
Can you do that?
I can't code anything. But Kevin,
he's the Renaissance
man. Maybe I got to future-proof it. What if I do learn Python and I regret it?
Hey, you could learn Python for fun.
And I regret it.
You know, we started this episode. I wanted to talk about DIY like wartime body armor of like what you would do in a situation if you were like dealing with that kind of catastrophe on your front doorstep. And
we'll
now
have
we're
to
talking
that
about
in the Patreon episode.
Okay. Please God, I want to talk about DIY body armor. And how much you're gonna die.
And we can
no
talk about the biggest news to hit this week.
The what?
The biggest news to hit this week, the one, you know, everyone's been talking about it.
Oh, the thermo.
No, Nigel finally put out a video.
the biggest news. It's a worldwide
it's a phenomenon.
Well, how do you not know? It's everyone
Nigel's
can't stop talking about it.
Yeah. They can't stop because they haven't finished
exactly.
watching it.
They're still watching it.
It's like it's bones. 3 hours.
Dude, all those brave souls who made it to the end. Like they're.
I don't know how, so man. I got like 40 minutes in, and I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I have shit I gotta do today.
Stuff I have to do. That's what I was telling Corey. I was like, I think there's this cutoff where it's like around like the 40 minute mark is. Someone can sit and commit, but it's around that moment of the video's not ending and they see there's still 20 minutes left. It's I got other stuff I need to do.
If somebody actually got all the way through your video, all the people that did, they have serious procrastination issues and they need to reevaluate how they spend their time.
It's like they watched a movie, like straight up. It's like if they watch it midday, it's like they just watched a movie midday.
Also, I realized something about your videos. I want to give you a tip.
Okay.
As a person who was consuming it, do you know what got me off watching your video?
What do you mean got you off?
Like the things that I enjoy.
Okay, what?
The large quantity of a thing, like seeing like a little tiny like dump of like a powder, like a resultant, kind of like doesn't feel good. There's something kind of like ASMR about having like a thing filled up with something, like even if it means the container you're using is smaller.
What do you mean?
Like when you have your product,
yeah.
Like when you're doing the chemistry, you're in the midway through, one of the satisfying shots is like you're reducing the whatever the like secondary reaction, the acid was.
Okay.
The what was the first stage?
Dude, you're asking my brain is so fried, I don't remember.
All right, never mind. You go from like one crystalline powder to like a second crystalline powder, basically. And when you were reducing it, you kept putting it in smaller and smaller and smaller beakers. And so it almost like there's something about feeling like there's a lot of it. Like it almost is like, I don't know how to describe it, but it felt nice when it's like you do this and then you have this tray that's like filled with powder, even if it's a tiny tray, and you like pour it out then on the table. Like there's something like disappointing when there's like a small amount. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. So, it's like there was something kind of ASMR, like this enjoyable, like subconscious thing of like if you're making a thing,
okay.
And you're like putting reactants in and you end up with your final product, having a beaker with like a tiny bit of thing at the bottom is like feels bad. It feels bad. Well, I'm like, I want that to be so like full, even though
you gotta get those.
It's
tiny,
funny
tiny
how it's
beers.
Funny how you mentioned that, because there was one email I got from a guy once and I'm like, this guy understands me. And he actually commented, I don't think many people understand you like I do, almost. And I was like, you do.
Oh, God.
Because a lot of people, and I actually got flack from this, from random comments, people don't realize that.
This is from the guy who says he doesn't read the comments. He's like, you don't bother me.
No, because like, so, some people would, there was a time where people went like, why does he always go, oops, I didn't realize that like it was going to overflow the beaker. Why didn't he just start with a bigger beaker? And I'm like, I can't, because everything that I do has to be 75% full. So
you need to do a commentary video. Like, all right, guys, I went out and bought the world's largest beaker. It's 500 liters. I can never overfill it on accident ever again. You like pour like a liter bottle of water and it doesn't even fill up the whole bottle.
It's something I actually do want to talk about just quickly, because people don't realize that a lot of the hindrances to the project isn't even the science. It's how it's filmed. So...
Yeah.
For some of them, it's like, for example, like the cotton balls to cotton candy video, most of the procedures require a bit of pressure, like 15 PSI, which you could technically do. I bought high pressure glassware for it, but you need it to be like 4 liters. So they do it in like a press.
Yeah, the bigger it is,
because it's
thicker
so
the walls are going to have to be
you
for
need,
that pressure.
It's like a lot of acid to a little bit of cotton. So people, you can use like a pressure cooker, but I'm like, you can't see it. So one of the biggest hindrances on the project, wow, voice crack. One of the biggest hindrances on the project.
Scott, edit that to be louder and replay it like 3 times.
Project. Yeah. I was like, this procedure has to be done in glass. So that's why it took me so long to put it together. And because it need to be visually nice, and I was like, it has to be one whole bag of cotton that has to be my scale, and because I was like, it has to be one full bag of cotton going into one beaker, and it has to fill the beaker to the 75% mark.
This is the kind of thing that you'll be able to explain to us. I mean, the audience, I feel like, generally will, like, understand it, but, like, to really understand it.
But even, like, just to give an idea for, like, the hot sauce video, one of the reasons why it took me a while to finish it, too, was we were, like, we had to make the label for the hot sauce bottle, and I was like, I need to find a bottle that looks like a hot sauce bottle that fits the whole aesthetic.
Why didn't you just go buy a hot sauce
bottle? I did. I'm just saying that, like, these are the details that, like, that we end up putting into.
Mind blown.
No, but I'm saying that I spent a while looking for bottles that I thought would be aesthetically nice. And then the other thing that's messed up is I plan this whole reaction. I don't know how much I'm going to get in the end, but I go, assuming my ideal is that I use all my product to make the hot sauce, how much hot sauce will it make? That amount that I make has to fit into the bottle I buy in an aesthetic volume.
I feel like these are problems where it's like, just make the hot sauce waterier.
No, I'm just saying, though, that in this one, people won't know the taste.
More water.
But it's like a lot of the videos, like when I plan the entire procedure, it takes me a long time to be like, I plan what containers and things I put it in. And if you see some old videos, they're not done in glassware. They're done in, like, random pieces of, like, plastic containers and other stuff. And it's because I needed to match the volume to a certain amount.
Right.
I'm just saying it's actually a huge hindrance.
Rule of thirds, right?
Well, it's like a big hindrance to how I film the videos.
It goes beyond filming with films. It goes into chemistry.
This is the kind of
thing
that, like, you know, I laugh about this because I have a feeling. I mean, you know how it is. Some of the other chemistry channels probably, like, I don't want to say they don't like you, but there's definitely probably, like, a little bit of jealousy where it's like, why, you know, like, there's some older chemistry channels than you. And it's like, why is this guy doing so well? Like, I started doing chemistry way earlier than him. But I'm just speculating too.
Or I'm doing more advanced stuff than him.
Right, right. There's definitely some kind of crusty chemist, like, say, you know, it's a thing, you know, whatever. So, like, I have a feeling that what they don't quite understand is, like, the work that you put into, this is all speculation too. I don't know where I'm going. The difference is, you put a lot of effort into sort of like the ASMR, like the pleasing feeling of seeing the chemistry. Like, it's less about the chemistry and more about the aesthetic of how are you showcasing it. Because it makes it very easy to digest. It makes it very clear. It makes it very, like, everything is, like, hyper-isolated.
So,
I mean, even I, when I was, like, making my, when I was showing the video.
Yeah, you had a bit
video,
of an experience doing the chemistry stuff.
Yeah, an experience of it, of, like, setting up the camera for, like, okay, like, here is an angle, like, straight on. Like, that's going to be good. But even, like, one thing I did, I had the freaking silk screen of the beaker facing the camera.
The what screen?
And the silk screen facing the camera gets
so
in the way of the stuff.
You have to flip it the other way.
And so the silk screen, I'm like realizing I need to flip it away. Because if you have the camera on autofocus, it focuses on the silk
screen.
Oh, yeah,
you don't screen. Do. So you don't do, one thing is I specifically use Micro Four Thirds cameras because you don't do autofocus. And if you focus on the front of the glass and with a Micro Four Thirds camera,
the whole thing's
in focus.
Right.
So it's like you need a deep depth of field.
Right, which means you need a lot of light. And then it's like how you even light it. Like mine just, I think, naturally looked pretty good because I have an overhead light
I found
for whatever
that,
reason.
That
just
the
felt
overhead,
nice.
I could definitely light mine better. The problem is it's glass, so it all reflects.
Yeah, yes, you light it from the front. Guess
you
what?
You just see. So I have a polarizer, but here's the thing that's kind of like wonky too, is the polarizer blocks a lot of the reflected light, so the glass looks a lot cleaner. And sometimes I've actually put like, dude, some of the setups, people... I've not talked about it, but like I would set up like barriers of like Bristol board so you don't see the reflections. But the problem with the polarizer is what's messed up, like for example, the ferrofluid video, it's all black. If you don't have reflection off the surface, you get no depth perception. But if you get all reflection, it's just white. So what you have to do is you have to do the polarizer, but then shoot light on a certain angle to shadow it. So you get like the contrast to have the, so it's like it's black, but you also get the reflection of white to see the depth of the ferrofluid. Like it took me a long time just to set up like shots so that they'd look decent.
Yeah, I spent like $600 on the overhead lights in the garage that are permanently fixtured. And then I spent like a couple thousand dollars on the two standing lights and I just leave them the exact same spot.
I mean, in your intros and everything or when you sit there, it looks good. Lighting's good.
It's just like really expensive light, or not, they're not even that expensive. It's just very high quality lights.
But being able to just keep them there is the key, like, where you can just turn them on.
Well, the ceiling ones, that's literally the garage lights now. It's just like these hyper clean white lights.
And that's what I've kind of daylight balance set up, but I definitely could do a better, I could do with some more lights sometimes.
Oh my God.
But
I think it's fine.
It's, yeah, a lot of the planning goes into like just how it's going to be filmed. And what gives me so much anxiety is, for example, I know that certain things have to be like ASMR. So I'm just going to say, for example, anytime I take a beaker off a hot plate, I make sure to slide it or to tap the corner. So I have like my little, let's say this is it. So it's like you pick up a beaker, I'd always be like, you tap it as you leave.
Just makes you, it makes you look like,
well, because otherwise it's silent. So it's like you tick, have to like tap tick it, and it feels satisfying.
Or OCD.
Or like,
yeah, I noticed that. But then I noticed you did it differently once, and I was severely disappointed.
And there's like, for example, if I drop in a stir bar, the problem is it splashes the water, but I need to drop it in so you hear it.
I also noticed that you drop in the stir bars differently every time. Sometimes you would slide it down the edge, and sometimes you just drop it in.
I guess it depends how much.
That made me very, as a viewer, I was very upset.
So actually, one like a behind the scene thing is when I made the Oxime, I redid the reaction 4 times. This was dumb. Right. This is just dumb. Because I kept putting all the chemicals in, dissolving them in water, and then I wanted to drop the stir bar in. But it splashed, and I didn't like that it splashed on the face of the beaker. So I redid it 4 times until I quit and started with the stir bar in the beaker. I was like, you know what? I don't get to drop it in. It's impossible not to make it splash. That was just dumb. That's just dumb. But it's like, what's stressful is when you have reactions you can't redo. And for example, like when I was working with the what's it called? The spot.
Wait, really quick. Why do I get the feeling that Kevin is on Discord or Reddit?
Because he's just silent staring.
I see his eyes going back and forth. Kevin, which one are you on?
No, I'm on Twitter.
God, you got him.
Even worse.
I don't know. Either way, it's just like there are certain things I know that will sound good. And it's like it's stressful because I'm like, I only have one shot to make it work. So it's like I get stressed filming it.
All right. Well, if you guys want to hear more about Nigel's stress and our wartime DIY safety devices, come to our Patreon exclusive episode, which
improvised munitions.
on our extra, we're going to be talking about Russian politics and why. Never mind. I'm not. I don't.
How
know.
To make a better Molotov cocktail?
Yeah. I think that's, I would listen to that. I would pay $5 to listen to Nigel tell me how to make a better Molotov cocktail.
So I actually, okay, no, we'll talk about this in the Patreon thing. I have a question. It's a valid question. Okay. It's probably like a very simple answer.
Who's the sponsor of today's video? All right, this episode of Safety 30 was sponsored by Vladimir Putin. He says that Russia is a very lovely country and that we should lift the sanctions off of him. That's a message for any of the government officials who watch this podcast that Vladimir Putin would like to share with you today.
How much did he pay you?
$3.
400,000 rubles.
Last week it was $12, but the ruble has dropped. All right. See you guys on the Patreon.